Welcome back to the Furs and Frontiers podcast. I'm your host, Tracy Walmer. This is a podcast that discusses the North American fur trade and all of the colorful events and characters that came out of it. And today's Mountain Man of the Hour might just take the prize for the most outlandish. He was said to be the most famous in the history of the Kiel Boatmen. He was a master marksman and a ridiculous braggart, a notorious lover, and as equally talented a fighter. He also had a flair for self-aggrandizement, claiming he could out-row, out-run, out-hop, out-shoot, and whoop the butt of any man in the country. And the ironic thing is, it was probably true. His name, if you haven't guessed it by now, is Mike Fink. Around the year 1770, he was born to French-Canadian parents at the headwaters of the Ohio River, not far from where Pittsburgh stands today. Nothing is known about his childhood. We don't even see him again in history until 1785, when at the age of 15, he began his life as an Indian scout and a boatman. Even as a teenager, he showed remarkable skills with a rifle, quickly becoming a master marksman. And many a fellow riverman lost his money in sharpshooter challenges when Mike would pull off some ridiculously outlandish shooting. One example was when the crew spied five wild boar rummaging through the undergrowth on the shore. They bet him he couldn't shoot the tails off of all five boar before they ran away. Think about that a second. When the first shot is fired and the first little piggy loses its tail, the rest are bound to run away. And young Mike pulled off that challenge and collected his wager. In fact, he was so talented as a marksman, it's said that local shooting events would not let him compete anymore. As a consolation prize for his exclusion, Mike usually was given a deer hide and the tallow, which he promptly exchanged for whiskey. His fellow rivermen gave Mike the nickname Snapping Turtle, and his beloved rifle was known as Bang All. A wiry kid, he was taught the finer points of controlling the flatboats and the keelboats on the Ohio River, and he soon became a master of that as well. All that poling and rowing and sailing and cordelling, which is where you use a winch and a rope to pull a boat upstream, over hundreds and hundreds of miles, built him into a very muscular young man. He stood about 6 foot tall, and he weighed around 180 pounds. He was broad in the shoulders and narrow in the waist. And like most men who pulled these big hulking boats up and down the river, Mike Fink was ripped. It was rumored that even his muscles had muscles. During his time on the river, Mike developed quite a reputation for being a cut-up and a practical joker and an all-around funny guy. He was quick-witted and always pulling pranks on people. And from some of the stories, even if you didn't see the humor in the joke, it was in your best interest to laugh along, because he was often short-tempered and hot-headed, and he was known for turning surly with anyone who didn't find him funny. But it's safe to say that the river was in his blood. By the time he was 30, he owned two boats of his own and had settled in Wheeling, West Virginia, where he hired himself out to the locals. But around 1815, as the frontier moved westward, so did Mike Fink. The introduction of the steamboat meant that muscle-bound guys like him were no longer needed to transport cargo on the major rivers. But steamboats couldn't navigate the shallow waterways that fur companies worked in. On the big rivers, he was a dying breed, so he had to find a new niche. So in 1822, he went looking for a job. And what he found was two businessmen in need of a personal river chauffeur. Those men were William Henry Ashley and Andrew Henry, owners of the fur company that would someday become the Rocky Mountain Fur Company. Like many mountain men who got their start in the Rocky Mountains, Fink answered that newspaper ad in the September 1822 issue of a St. Louis newspaper put there by William Ashley. That advertisement called for able-bodied men to work as trappers and hunters in the Missouri River fur trade. And many others joined Ashley's Hundred that day, including famous names like Jedediah Smith and Jim Bridger, and two less famous trappers named Levi Talbot and Bill Carpenter. Now, Mike was proud of his wild man reputation, and as a sort of badge of honor, it said that he wore a long red feather in his felt hat to warn the river pirates and any others with bad intentions just who they were dealing with. When he began working the Wild Mississippi River with Ashley's Hundred, they nicknamed him the Snag. Some of Mike's antics were retold in newspapers back east, and the country folk gobbled them up in dime store rag sheets, always wanting to know what the scoundrel was up to this time. Over the years, he became quite a renegade folk hero. In one example, written some 30 years after the boatman's death, a Louisville, Kentucky journalist named Ben Cassaday wrote of one such account. As his boat lazed down the river one day, Mike observed a large flock of fat, fluffy sheep grazing on the shore. His boat was in need of provisions, but Mike didn't want to pay for them, so he hit upon an idea. He noticed that there was an eddy near the shore, and it was about dusk, so he beached his boat next to this eddy and he tied it fast. From his cargo, he opened a cask of Scotch snuff, took out a big handful of the stuff, and snuck on shore. He caught 5 or 6 of the sheep, rubbed their faces very thoroughly with the snuff, and then went back to his boat. Then he sent one of his men in a great hurry to the sheep owner's house to tell him he had better come see what was wrong with his sheep. The owner showed up in a complete tizzy as he watched his flock bleeding and rubbing their noses on the ground and performing all manner of undignified and unsheep-like antics. The owner asked Mike if he had ever seen such a thing like this before, and if he knew what was wrong with the flock. "You don't know," answered the sly boat captain very gravely. Mike then went on to explain that it was a disease called the Black Murrain, and all the sheep upriver were infected. "They are dying off by the hundreds every day," Mike said. "There was no cure. The only way to keep it from killing the whole flock was to kill those infected." "But no man could single out the infected sheep and shoot them from among this flock," said the owner. "My name's Mike Fink," was the reply. The gentleman begged Mike to shoot the infected sheep and throw them into the river before the whole flock was gone. Mike pretended to hesitate. The sheep owner insisted and even promised a couple gallons of peach brandy if Mike would do him this one favor. Mike shot the infected sheep, threw them into the eddy, and retrieved his brandy. After dark, his men jumped into the water, hauled the sheep aboard, and by morning's light, the crew had neatly stowed those sheep away and were gliding merrily downstream. Stories like this lent to that scallywag reputation, and Mike quite enjoyed the notoriety. As is the tradition of mountain men, even today, stories of his deeds and skills were repeated and celebrated around many a campfire. And they were recorded in newspapers all over. For many of those stories, they were embellished and exaggerated so much that he kind of took on a mythical Paul Bunyan-esque kind of quality. It was said that he could shoot the barrettes out of a lady's curls without messing up a single strand of hair. He could shoot the gold earring from a pirate's ear. And he was very well known for shooting tin cups off the heads of his fellow mountain men. He could shoot a fly off a fence post. It's even said that he was half man, half alligator. And Mike himself joked that as an infant, he shunned breast milk and went right to drinking whiskey. In some stories, he wrestles wolves and alligators. In others, he was so big he had to ride a moose for a horse. One of those stories includes a tale of him being hauled before the authorities, and it, of course, ends with him getting the upper hand. Always the showman, one story even tells that when he was summoned to appear in court, he put his boat on a wagon and had his crew haul it through the town to the courthouse for his trial to make this grand entrance. And his reputation was said to be unmatched. But at least once in his life, he did meet his match, both in skill and in personality. It was none other than the famous frontiersman Davy Crockett. Well, that's not true. It was actually Mrs. Crockett. According to this American folklore and legend story, Mike attempted to prank Elizabeth Patton Crockett by dressing in an alligator skin. He waited patiently in the bushes until she neared, and then he pounced on her. Undaunted, Elizabeth pulled out her Bowie knife, whipped around, and sliced the disguise open in one swipe. Finding Mike inside, she went on to solidly trounce him with her bare hands. Mike reportedly always had his favorite native woman by his side. In some sources, she is named as Pittsburgh Blue. He would have her hold a tin cup filled with whiskey on her head or between her knees, which he would then expertly put a bullet through. And it's reportedly because of this woman that he lost his life when he was shot and killed in 1823. Some say it was an argument over this love interest. Some say that good friend Bill Carpenter challenged him to this fair maiden, and they agreed to shoot mugs of beer from each other's heads. For the first time in his life, Mike shot low and killed the man. And here the stories get convoluted. Some say it was either the dead man's brother, some say it was a mutual friend, some say it was his other friend Levi Talbot. Either way, the bystander, knowing very well of Mike's mastery of skills and outraged by what he saw as an intentional murder, picked up Carpenter's pistol and shot Mike dead. Other stories say his death was caused by an argument over a coonskin cap, and he wasn't killed until much later. With a man like Mike Fink, it's hard to tell where the truth stops and the myth begins. For a while, in fact, right up until the Civil War kicked off, the tall tales of Mike Fink lived on in dime novels and ballads and campfire stories alongside the likes of heroes like Daniel Boone and Davy Crockett. But as the Civil War dragged on, the general public was less inclined to admire what they saw as a violent, obnoxious bully. And with that, the myth that was Mike Fink quietly faded into obscurity. At least until 1955, when an actor named Jeff York portrayed the sharpshooter in Disney's Davy Crockett miniseries. Mostly he was there for comic relief and to serve as a foil for Fess Parker's Crockett character. But since then, several authors have tried to revive the reputation of Mike as being good-natured and kind. With one fictional 1977 movie, The Incredible Rocky Mountain Race, pitting Mike against the future river rat and author, Mark Twain, in a cross-country scavenger hunt. It seems that throughout history, Mike Fink's name was mentioned when it was sure to sell a story, whether the story was true or not. But his death was announced in that St. Louis Republican newspaper in July of 1823. There is additional stories that mention he has a daughter, a young lady by the name of Sal Fink, who was said to be equally daring and dangerous as her famous father, and known for her marksmanship and her extremely loud holler. No matter what you think of his antics, there is little doubt that Mike Fink will always be seen as the king of the river. That's it for today's episode of Furs and Frontiers podcast. Please check out our website at fursandfrontiers.com to discover more about the North American fur trade and all of its colorful characters. And we have an expansive list of resources on this era for you to learn more. Have a great weekend, everybody, and keep your powder dry.